Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, psychic, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio television talk show personality. She brings to the airwaves talented people from around the world who share their insights and experiences with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and well, today we are going to be talking about a number of different modalities when it comes to the mind, when it comes to the experience that, or I should say experiences that people have had through the years about ETs, alternate forms of energy, mind control. Well, we've just got so many different points of information. My guest today is Colin Andrews. He and Cynthia Andrews have put together a publication that is, in my description, mentally gripping. Why? Because he brings out so many different points of information, research, but also his own observations, personal experiences, and he brings out questions that are going to create possibilities for new experiences, maybe in your life. I want to welcome to the airwaves Colin Andrews. Colin, welcome.
Oh, thank you very much, Donna. Thanks for having me on here.
I want my audience to know that you're an electrical engineer, and you have, for over 30 years, been an investigator that checks into unusual phenomena. And your book, The On the Edge of Reality, On the Edge of Reality, touches so many variables here. You have done research into crop circles, and that was a term that you coined in the 1980s after you found CPR. That's the Circles Phenomenon Research International, and that was the original crop circle research team. You published the first book on the subject, but you didn't stop there. And in the years that followed, you have written three other books, you're co-author of six other books, you do television shows, you've been involved in documentaries, and then Cynthia, your wife, she is a licensed naturopathic physician, she works with subtle energy, and is also deeply aware of how emotions affect healing, and it has been part of her journey in being married to you for over 20 years that she herself has expanded, both of you have expanded phenomenally in your observations, in your questionings, and you have so much here in this book. I almost thought, well, how in the world am I going to choose what I really want to focus on, Colin, because there is so much here. You know what I want to do? I think what I'm going to do is start right at the back of your book. This is going to sound a little wacky, but I want to start with something that happened to you, and I'm going to quote directly from your book. You said, "We often forget that we're surrounded on this planet by intelligent species, neglecting to recognize any intelligence that isn't like ours." And you talk about going into a rabbit hutch that you have to open doors to the outside runs, and there was a squirrel inside. Tell us what happened with that squirrel.
Yes, this was something that happened to Cynthia. She went into this very confined space, I mean, plenty of space for our rabbits, which is the rabbits' headquarters, basically, with little holes out low level to the outside so they can come and go. And but there's only one way in for humans, and that's through the door, one single door. And Cynthia went in there and startled this particular morning to feed them and startled a squirrel, which felt it was under threat and was cornered. And it was panicking. It was jumping from one side of the the shed to the other, being afraid of human beings that most other species seem to be. And Cynthia just stopped calmly, tried to connect mentally with the animal, which she certainly appeared to do. It calmed immediately. She was projecting no threat, no harm, and just held her space and let him work out that was the situation, which he did. And he looked up at her, I mean, literally walked by her, kind of shocked that she wouldn't be attacking him, and around her and out the door. And, you know, it was another of many demonstrations that we have here on this little farm where we live, of giving time and space for our creatures and to interact with them as them. And, you know, it was just an example of another intelligence that we are able to connect with if we think of it in a different way.
You cover so many different topics, you and your wife, in this book. I mean, it just, like I said, I was having a challenge when I was thinking about preparing for the show this morning. What all am I going to really cover? Because there are so many points. Today, we are experiencing politically. We are getting hit with so much rhetoric. We have been lied to and deceived by so many people that are in positions of authority. And this comes out over and over and over again. And I know just in the last 2 weeks, I've had conversations with so many people that say, I'm so weary. Why do they think we're so stupid? And you go through in a section of your book how often through media, there is a mass, I'll use this word, a mass hypnosis that they're trying to promote, thinking that the average individual has the brains of a grain of rice.
Yeah.
And I get so disgusted with this attitude and the lack of really understanding. And I don't care where you go in the world, you have this. Every country in the world, we're dealing with the same thing. So we're in a cycle of, I'll use the term upheaval, because it's time to wake up and pay attention. And just because someone has a title or they have been given a position of authority doesn't mean that they know what they're doing. We've all had experiences of being in places where people had, again, they might have the brains of half of a piece of rice. And we wonder, how in the world did that happen? But you go into how so many times this mind connection, this manipulation of thinking is promoted. And in the modern day environment, in the 20th century, this was done by Stalin. This was done by Hitler. It was done by so many different people. It happened on a certain level in the United States. And you go into this in a great deal of detail. And I found it absolutely amazing. You talk about new military, and you have the documentation for it, new military material. It seems like it all has to start in association with war. Why is that, Colin? Have you figured that one out?
Well, you covered a lot of ground there, and you actually were very concise in covering a lot of ground. The great difficulty, as you have said in setting this up, is that there is a lot of material. But when you kind of look at the general overview, what we've sensed, and that is I'm talking about prior to meeting Cynthia, right back 30 years ago, from the beginning of the research, it was fairly evident to the first team, and I was an engineer, I'm an engineer, working in the sciences with other scientists who were members of that same team, just the four of us, and we were forced, absolutely obliged, to acknowledge that something else, some other conscious entity was aware of us. And this came through with discussion we would have, experiences that manifested in front of us. And we have eventually had to concede there is a consciousness that's not only present, but is actually showing itself in an interactive fashion. And so that became non-public to, you know, outside of us. We were trying to maintain, you know, our own credibility and doing more and more television work, fearing that if we were to slip into the trap of the social network, social engineering that goes on with governments and as the people that you've just been referring to, which I totally agree with you, they attempt to engineer our world in such a fashion that we feel embarrassed, marginalized, to discuss the very things that will lead us into a whole different world and a whole better world. You know, terms, terms like UFO, for example, that have been deliberately engineered into society to curtail the conversation, to marginalize us, make us feel embarrassed. And then came, you know, terrorism, terrorists, believers, you know, these terms that kind of pigeonhole us. But we see something else happening here now. We have come to the end, it seems to us, of, and thank you for saying, you know, there's a lot of documentation and evidence. We've gone to tremendous pains. Many pages of the over 300 pages here, you know, contain references and evidence that we have indeed reached a crossroads. And this is a crossroads in not only what we have humanity has produced, it's our own infrastructure coming back to bite our tail. It's the end of a rather disgraceful period of dishonesty, deception, lies, power grabbing, all those things, with, of course, very good people in there. There is the measure of good and bad in our past. But if we are to leave this crossroads with Mother Nature on board, with Mother Nature, we have to confront the problems that have led us here. And what we see in this gambit of subjects, you know, the hidden technologies, the power of the mind, quantum physics, those that are on the cover of the book, paranormal, orbs, UFOs, harmonic transmissions, and the crop circles, much of which has been learned by the deception inside those subjects, we get to see that what we've missed is right there, visible in all of our actions throughout these years, is that something else is subtly attempting to nose us in the direction of a better world. So to transition into what is so inadequate to as a definition for consciousness, you know, we attempt to do it, but, you know, I, as I'm sure you know, many people in this field of study, and, you know, for everyone you ask, you will get a slightly different answer for consciousness. But in attempting to define it, it truly is the baseline. It is the essence of who we want to be, and we cannot move until we really have defined who we are. You know, so we say that, you know, it is an inadequate definition, but consciousness is the act of awareness. It is the substance of form. And it is the force which we experience, you know, in life. It is personal, and I'm sure you have many examples yourself, and it is collective, and it literally directs. It is carried on energy, and yet it is not energy. It's something beyond. So when we extend our awareness and intent to use the force of our consciousness, we can manifest change in our surroundings. And that, I think, Donna, is where we are, and it's really what I apologize for a long response, but it kind of tries, you know, what we're trying to do here is to point out, we're not trying to steer anybody, what we're trying to point out is these things exist. Nothing is made up in this book. These are facts. This is new phenomena, some of it. This is old phenomena, a lot of it, and yet through electronic voice phenomena, through the crop circles in the field, through the people deceiving us, through the UFO and the interactions with the UFO, and all those other subjects, we have an intelligence here with us, working with us. And that's really all we're trying to point out, is that as soon as we can define it, acknowledge it, so that we're doing more than imagining, we are embracing, we will manifest the change which we simply have no choice, Donna, and I know you know this, and most people know this. We now have no choice. Our children, I deserve to have hope, the very hope that we were looking for and felt we were promised. But I totally agree with you. We have been led down many blind avenues with deception and greed and really what I call the old boys club that has looked after itself and has brushed everything else aside with no spiritual content in its mapping whatsoever. You know,
I agree.
We are spiritual beings having a human experience.
There, again, you've covered a number of the different points in your book, and I think that your own personal story about having an experience with ET is quite a powerful one, and it started you on a journey that ended up becoming a life passion, which is what you've done today. And with your scientific training and background, your analytical capabilities, along with your wife's intuitive and very heart-centered capabilities. Both of you make a very good team because you come from different perspectives, yet you come to the same conclusion in your own way.
Yeah, absolutely.
One of the biggest conflicts that has existed for quite a long time has been the aspect regarding energy. I was totally intrigued with your section on HAARP, H-A-A-R-P, which many people know about. And this is a site that's up in Alaska that has 180 transmitting towers, each with two pairs of dipole antennas, transmitting at more than 10 billion watts. But what I found even more interesting than that, and that may sound a little strange because that alone is something that for anybody that's interested in technology, when they find out something like this is going on up in the far north, they go, holy Christmas, and that opens up a whole new kettle of investigative worms. But I was intrigued with a man that you mention, Bernard Eastland. Now, he died in 2007, and he had a number of patents, and one of them is on a theoretical mechanism for transporting energy around the globe without the need for a pipeline. Now, so many times, I have encountered, sometimes because of people I've interviewed on my show, sometimes people that I meet in social environments, there is knowledge that literally works with free energy. We do not have to have the pollution that we've got, which is there, because there are those components that have been there. They're sitting in a patent office.
That's right.
And yet, here we are, still burping and clunking along, and I have to laugh when I watch automobile advertisements saying, oh, now we've got a car that has 35 miles to the gallon. I said, for heaven's sakes, get real. 35 miles to a gallon? We're in the 21st century? We've got so many choices. I'm not an engineer. But I think a little bit of common sense can go a long way. Tell us a little bit more about Bernard Eastland.
Well, I think you've covered a lot of ground there. This really is a man who was, as all good scientists are, thinking outside the box, prepared to think of in those areas that are beyond most people's area, that they are, you know, prepared to go. You know, if you pigeonhole and you follow the leader, it's just like, you know, the sheep in a line, and if the wrong one falls over the cliff, we all go with them. This is a man who was very different. I mean, he was really, you might say, the very first wave, one of the front wave of thinking for the God particle, you know, that the work that is continuing at a pace in Europe, looking for the transition particle, which will be the key to a whole different situation. They are onto it. I'm sure it's going to happen, that they will not only discover it, but be able to see where this works with the transition of thought. You know, thought is thought to be an instantaneous function. It's an intelligent construct which is in more than one place at one time, and that the mirror neurons that work, you know, right behind and alongside the motor neurons that dictate our every action, our thought, my body language as I'm speaking to you now, I'm gesturing knowing that you can't see me, and yet your mirror neurons at some level, consciously we know this through work being carried out in Berkeley currently, knows exactly what I'm doing, is connected with me in a complete sense, and all mirror neurons are connected to everybody else's mirror neurons. And so there is this instantaneous transference of energy which can be utilized in the micro-macro. Anything that happens in the small scale is capable of happening in the large scale. It is simply a matter of scale. So, you know, this was a scientist, an engineer, and a human being that I think was, frankly, utilizing his intuitive senses. You know, all of the tremendously major developments of this current age have come from dream state or sixth sense intuitive information. And it was really actually, not to kind of deviate off this point, it would appear to be doing so, but it kind of reinforces the point that I'm trying to make with this kind of thinking, is that some of the people that I considered, I'll speak for myself, you know, in the study of the crop circle side of this, as being hoaxers, negative people that were trying to interfere with our progress, they have revealed important information, and that is that they have constructed geometries that we do understand, of course made by people, but they have picked this up by watching it's a normal function. They're watching a television program or doing something in the kitchen, washing up, wiping up, doing normal things, and click into their head has come what they think is their thought, as later proven, and there are a number of examples in the book, to have been somebody else's thought. It's mm-hmm. a group of individuals meditating. There are many examples of this, Donna, of the, you know, as we know, healing works. Prayer and meditation work. And it works because, one of the reasons we believe, I certainly wouldn't be arrogant enough to say it is because, as I was about to do, but, you know, it has to be in some way associated with the fact that our mirror neurons are all laterally connected. So we have a collective consciousness that does that holds it together. So when one group of individual, this is important though, sincerely, there's a word, that's where we got to get, real, not only being real, but sincerely, from a positive position, are meditating on a design or an outcome, other individuals, we don't know why it's those individuals, those particular individuals, receive that information and then act it out as if it were their own. So, put simply there, group one meditating, 12 women will say, and there is an exact example of this in the book, meditate on a design which was not pre-planned, it just happened to, they agreed on a flower of life. The person who we'll call person B is watching television, receives an image in his head, which is that same image, goes out in the field, into a field, miles away from his home, without any planning. He's watching the news one minute, and the next moment he's in the English countryside, creating a design in the very field that the meditation has requested it to be. So, I'm sorry, a long answer, but this is the kind of thinking that comes from the scientists we set this that particular point up with. So it's believing, it's embracing with sincerity, with honesty, and the manifestation is what we get as a, you could say, the prize, the bonus. that's, I think, where we're all heading. That's what's on hand for us all to be grasping in the future, which might well be on the very next horizon, if we can make it off of this crossroads.
Well, I think we're going to make it. I think there's going to be a lot of disruption, because I think we have to go through a disruptive time. Otherwise, we get so complacent. It reminds me of a movie that was put out. It was an animated movie, and I'm trying to think of it. I see it so clearly in my head. I think it was called One. I'm not sure. But anyway, it was about how people had left Earth that had been so destroyed, and it was just such a blooming mess. And there's this little computer that's wandering around, and he's just beeping and doing his little thing. There's no conversation in the first part of a good portion of the movie. And yet at the end, the people in the spaceship, when you see them, they all look like butterballs because they don't have to do anything. They have their robots. It's one generation after another. It's lived in outer space, and then suddenly it's found they can go back to Earth. And I had to chuckle because the end of the movie shows that they're trim, they're healthy, they're happy. They've done a great job of bringing the Earth back to life. So I just had to really relate that, because I'm finding, and I've noticed this for a good 20 years, actually more than that, that so many of the movies that come out that are portraying such a darkness, I just happened to see something. I got it from the library. I was curious, what is this? It's a sci-fi. And it talked about dealing with other intelligences. And first, when you were in the movie, it was all this fear, and then all of a sudden someone decided to be open and to try to communicate with this other life form. I'll use that dramatic word. And the life form understood, and then everything went back into harmony. So to me, it was, for all intents and purposes, a statement. We are in a cycle of disruption. If we do not question, if we do not hold individuals that are supposedly the decision makers accountable for what they do, then that takes away from our integrity. So we as individuals have to hold ourselves accountable, and also other people, and say, the gig is up, the game, we're not going to play the game anymore.
That's right.
And this isn't just with politics. This is just in everyday standards in life. It's holding a level of integrity, compassion, understanding, a willingness to learn, and saying, okay, this is time for us to clean up the blooming mess that's been evolving for so many years. This just didn't happen in the last 5 minutes. This has been evolving and growing. You talk about so many different people, researchers, where downloads of information have evolved. Edward Belbruno. You talk about contrails and chemtrails, the difference between them. And I thought, my goodness, this is the first intelligent explanation I've come across, because I've had conversations with people say, oh, do you know, we're guinea pigs for this, that, or the other. And I go, wait a minute, that's not quite making sense to me. But your segment in your book is very well stated and really brings out some specific information and differences with this. Colin, I know that we are just about out of time here for our visit. Would you stay with me for a few more minutes?
Certainly, Donna. Thank you.
You're very welcome. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I would really want to address the contrails and the comtrails. Do you know the difference? Well, we're going to tell you, and we're going to tell you what's been discovered with it. So don't go away. We'll be back in just a moment.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Amino Muscle Snack Time, the chewable nutrition that feeds your muscles. Amino acids are the building blocks of protein. When you exercise, muscle tissue naturally breaks down. This low-cal, chewable snack helps to reverse that process and won't pack on the pounds. You can chew a few tasty vanilla tablets or any one of their other flavors before or after physical exercise, right before bedtime or first thing in the morning to jumpstart your metabolism into gear for the day. Convenient to carry in a purse, backpack, or briefcase, they are a tasty snack for the person on the go. Firm, fit muscles, trim, healthy body. Sound good to you? Check out Amino Muscle Snack Time Chewable Nutrition by going to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Tone up, trim up, and nourish your body to the fitness level you desire. Amino Muscle Snack Time Nutritional Tablets. Check out the information and order today. Go to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Order now.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Welcome back. And we are talking with Colin Andrews. He and his wife, Cynthia, have put together a powerhouse book called On the Edge of Reality. In this book, there's information about hidden technology, documented information about the powers of the mind, quantum physics, and if you've been listening, you know there are a multitude of subjects here. I was absolutely amazed about the contrails, chemtrails. I'm reading this stuff and I said, wow. I had a conversation last month. I had some people that were visiting me in my home, and they were from Canada. And this one individual went on quite a conversational level, I'll call it a stretch, talking about chemtrails. And boy, but I think he was using the term contrails. And it's so easy to confuse them. And he was going on and on about this is government stuff, and by golly, stuff is being dropped from the air. And I thought, I don't know about that. But I really was intrigued by your chapter. Now, people love paranoia. I'll tell you, I know people who are conspiracy theorists. They just delight. Their lips flap and they're salivating when they're talking about this conspiracy, that conspiracy. And I reach a point where I go, police, would you take a deep breath, have a piece of pie and some ice cream and zone out, all right? Let's get down to basics. They don't have a lot of facts. And I think that this is something in the human personality. We always love to pay attention to the dark, to the ugly. Yeah. To this type of thing. And I want to say, take a breath, for God's sake. There's always an alternative. But I don't have a Pollyannish attitude. I realize that there are people that are doing things unethically. We've had it done by the government of the United States. It's done by the government of Britain. It's been done in every government that has ever been on this planet in one form or another. And it seems like that from the I'd say the 19th century on, some of the stuff has just been horrific that's been developed, especially because of chemical warfare. I mean, those two words are just being bandied around like a ping pong ball at this time.
Yeah.
Tell us the difference between a contrail and a chemtrail.
Right. Well, I was kind of, I felt the same way as you have just described. To the many reports that began to kind of roll in my direction, you know, the fact that I'm you know, known for researching a lot of these mysterious things, that I began to receive a lot of calls and concern from some people about these contrails and chemtrails, and I'll define the difference in just one second, just to say that amongst those people who are expressing concerns, were really some really high-level people, too. So it had my ear, although I was looking in the sky myself, thinking, well, it looks like any normal vapor trail behind an aircraft I've ever seen. I don't see anything changing. We have many conversations. Well, I have a very good friend who works contract to NASA, lives in California, who was extremely concerned by the type of chemtrail that was appearing over his house in his area on a regular basis. So I thought, well, you know, I need to tackle this, first of all, to know if it's real, if there is a difference, what that difference is, where's the proof, and what could it mean? So I looked at the two. The contrail is a condensed, remember it, contrail condensed trail. So it's a condensation of the exhaust vapors coming out of an aircraft engine at certain temperatures, you know, as they rise up in elevation to the lower levels of the atmosphere, it gets colder and condenses the vapor that's coming out of the engines of the aircraft. That's very normal. It's not healthy, but it's very normal. That's the normal process, and it's known as a contrail. Normally, it's kind of fairly easy to recognize that the rate at which the aircraft is moving across the sky, the actual aircraft, watching the contrail that's coming out the back of it, that what appears to be like white smoke or mist behind it, mm-hmm. in a dead straight line on the same contour as the aircraft is taking, the length of that contrail is a certain distance, you know, is visible for a certain distance behind the aircraft. And as the aircraft goes forward, so does the trail with it. And it dissipates fairly quickly. The rate changes depending upon the temperature and weather conditions at the time. That's very normal. What is not normal is an aircraft that is seen to be leaving a much more dense trail. That trail is not dissipating. It extends from horizon to horizon. After the aircraft has disappeared out of sight over the horizon, you can still see where that aircraft went because of the chemical trail that it has left. That's a chem trail, meaning chemical trail of aluminum and other man-made toxic materials that have been measured in the atmosphere on the ground. And these chemtrails will smudge and extend out laterally. There appears to be a process going on in the atmosphere, which is considered at this time without proof that this is a function of some other technology that is spreading the chemicals out to extend a layer of reflectivity above the cloud back into the atmosphere. And it is said by a number of scientists that who have spoken off the record and in confidence, who are in the know of some of these programs, that these are secret attempts that our government officials don't have a vote on, in an attempt to reflect back out into the atmosphere, back outside of our planet. Harmful radiation that's coming into the lower levels of the atmosphere and unfortunately worsening the global warming that we're experiencing. And so what we did in the book was just to define the difference so that we can see that, yes, this is real. It is definitely real. I mean, there are more people than unfortunately I've been able to state in the book, because you know it's, some guys are very afraid to speak about these. These are secret programs operating from known bases with known aircraft and equipment in those aircraft that are designed to spray our atmosphere. And so all we've basically said here is this is secret technology with unknown repercussions. And they are unknown, much like genetically engineering of our food. These are unknown repercussions that people are making decisions upon without any input from the public domain whatsoever. So I don't know whether that kind of answered, you know, as a reasonable overview of that subject, Donna, but it is real, and it is, regrettably, to humans that consume this stuff, potentially harmful. But somebody somewhere would seem to have made the decision that it's better to go with the health risks in some parts of our planet to effectively extend the life of the planet itself. So that seems to be where we are with that.
There are so many various environments that the average person is not in any way going to become aware of until something affects them. And I know of course, I'm talking with people all of the time. And I had a conversation. I happened to have a nutritional meeting in my home, and we were discussing the various publications that have come my way. It's a very open and sharing environment because I believe, just as in doing this show, the more information I can share with people, with various individuals, the better we understand our options we can look at. And there was a comment made where farmers, many of them who have been put out of business, and without agriculture, none of us are going to stay around very long. I mean, we have to have it. It's the basis of survival for the human race. And this is something that has been deeply affected. And farming, where it used to be done by so many small farmers, let's say 90%, and that was back in the 20th century, this was very common. Well, now we have maybe a little bit over 1% of the population that is actively involved in farming, and it's allowed so many of us to go about doing what we really want to do, which we're very fortunate in that respect. On the other hand, just what you mentioned, the genetic modification of food, it's producing a lot of side effects. And just in the past 5 years, those that have been going against the farmers, saying everything is going to be our way, we're going to be able to do what we want to do genetically, and if you've got genetically modified stuff in your farmland, then we're going to put you out of business. We're going to take it over. That has been shifting, and apparently more and more farmers are coming forth and saying, this is not healthy. My animals are getting sick. I talked with a person involved with the dairy industry, and this was on Friday of last week. And we got into this discussion about genetically modified foods, and they were saying they are finding in the dairy industry that they are experiencing mutations in the animals that are being born because of the feed, and a lot of it is corn that they are fed, various grains, and they are fighting to not have to feed their animals genetically modified grains because they have discovered that fetuses are being aborted. There's all kinds of things that are going on that whoever might have started off, and I will give them the benefit of the doubt, well-meaning, gee, this is going to really help our crops be healthier and heartier. The toxicity of what is occurring is not a joke. And so the farmers, the people that have, you know, animals that provide us with the proteins and the meats that we need, whether it be chicken, pig, cow, it doesn't make any difference. They are seeing very negative side effects. And, of course, whatever they're eating, we're going to be ingesting. So this toxicity that is evolving, that they firmly believe is contributing to a lot of the issues that we're battling today, education and knowledge is very important. And it takes the consumer, and that's what we're addressing today, and that's what your book, On the Edge of Reality, is all about. You, like me, want people not to be fearful. We want them to be informed. What can we do to inform people? You have done it through a book. I like to think I'm assisting with my radio program. It is important that we do this because we need to be informed, not come from a basis of fear, but be informed so that when we are talking about things, we can talk with clarity. Your book, On the Edge of Reality, again, we could talk for hours about the different items that you have in your book. Our time is limited here. But I like to think that we've covered so many different topics that you present with documented information, with commentary. You have websites. You have information here. If people want to explore further, they can do that. Your information, Colin Andrews, and Cynthia also contributes to this as well, is Colin Andrews, and that's with an S, colinandrews.net. I want to thank you so much for being my guest today.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Donna. Thank you so much.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Check out this book, On the Edge of Reality. You don't have to believe it, but if it makes you think, isn't that a step in the right direction? Questioning is always good. Don't be afraid to expand into areas of subject matter that maybe you've heard people talk about, but you wonder, I wonder if there's anything behind it. Check out Colin Andrews and Cynthia Andrews' book, On the Edge of Reality. I think you'll be glad you did. ColinAndrews.net. Donna Sebo here. We are taking a break. Don't go away.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna@DelphiInternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.DelphiInternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is Donna@DelphiInternational.com, and her website is www.DelphiInternational.com.
Good health is something all of us want to have. Being aware of what we eat, its nutritional value, and how to balance our physical needs with our busy schedules is always a challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time goes a long way towards helping us meet this challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time is a nutritional food product that is portable, tasty, and in chewable tablet form, vanilla and honey flavors, a bonus for maintaining a healthy amino acid balance for healthy muscles. Amino Muscle Snack Time can be used anytime, anywhere, first thing in the morning to kickstart your metabolism. Take 20 minutes before or after a workout to help recover and build muscle. Take mid-morning or mid-afternoon to help curb cravings for unhealthy snacks. Weight loss, appetite control. Only top of the line and no genetically modified ingredients are used, no caffeine added. These chewable tablets can be ordered through Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Take charge and jumpstart your food program by adding Amino Muscle Snack Time by visiting Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com for more information. Order now.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are now open. If you would like to chat with me, you can give me a buzz at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008, excuse me. And all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and let me tell you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask me a question or anything you like. Quickly, I want to remind those of you in Western Washington, I am going to be doing an appearance at the Emerald Spiral Expo, and that is going to be on the 28th of September, this marvelous event that, oh my goodness, it's been going on for over 30 years. This expo just allows you to interact and meet with all kinds of people, including me. And I'm going to be speaking at 2 o'clock in the afternoon at the expo, and I invite you to come along because it's all going to be about mind power. I'm going to have buku books, and I'm also going to have some of the wonderful products of Danny Torres, who's one of my sponsors. We're going to have things to give away, and also there are some other items that are going to be freebies. So why don't you come along, say hello, and the hours for the expo are 9 to 5, and it's a wonderful family event. So you have a wonderful environment, lots of fun, and again, if you're in Western Washington, check out the Kent Commons area, the Emerald Spiral Expo, and go to their emeraldspiralexpo.com, and you'll get all the information, the address, all of the other details that you need. Donna Sebo here. We have got a lineup this week that is just incredible. If you're interested in wellness and you're interested in stem cell research, well, you're not going to want to miss the doctor that I'm going to have on, Dr. Summersall. And this book is just incredible. Dr. Summersall is a man who has done marvelous, marvelous research with this. And we're going to be having him as a guest tomorrow. And then Saved by the IRS, Ken Jones. Can you believe that? Who would even put that kind of a title on a book? Saved by the IRS? Well, you're going to find out this man's story. And then Dare I Call It Murder? This is a true story about Larry Edwards, his family, and a case that has not been solved. It is a cold case, but he's written a book because he knows the answer. The Art of Healing, Dr. Bernie Siegel. This is a doctor who has just changed the lives of millions of people through his writings, and his book will definitely touch your heart and your mind. So that's what's coming up on the Donna Sebo Show this week. I think we're going to have a gripping week, as we usually do here. And it's just a joy for me to be able to share all of these wonderful people with you, because me, you, we're all going to benefit. The more we are open to learning, doesn't mean we're ever going to know it all. That's not humanly possible. But it allows us to understand the options that perhaps are available we didn't know existed. So tell your friends, we're delighted to have you join us. I wanted to say, on Friday, when we were playing The Best of Donna, I was out doing the Puyallup. Yes, I was at the Puyallup Fair in Western Washington, which is considered one of the top fairs in the nation. And I just had the time of my life. One of the reasons I enjoy doing the fair, and this was a decision that came up and the weather was just perfect for being there, I love to watch, I love to look at, one, the creativity of people. There are crafts and arts and things that are done. And then I love being around the animals. And I was able to watch Clydesdales and draft horses do performances. And I saw pigs and llamas and alpacas and bunnies and guinea pigs and the 4-H stuff. And it just brings you back into the awareness of how connected we are to everything. And when you're having conversations with people, they love to talk about what they do. And it just opens up worlds that I think so many of us feel so distant from. I mean, after all, we go into the grocery store, and when we get milk, we just pick up a little plastic container or a big plastic container, and we take it home. If we want cheese, we go and we have a plastic wrap package of cheese. If we want meat, we want fish, whatever it is that we're interested in. In our world today, we take so much for granted. We don't realize the infrastructure that goes behind having all of this available. And I do have to say something here. When I look at these families, and I use the term families because they are families that run the dairy operations, the poultry operations, the pig operations. So many times we think a lot of this is done by major corporations. Well, they might be. They may have super large farms. But there are a lot of these families that are out there. And I can tell you, they love their animals. They take great care with their animals. Many of them choose not to use hormones. Many of them are very aware. And I think when you can go to events like these fairs in whatever part of the country you're in or in the world, it pays to be aware of these groups like 4-H, et cetera, because they make a difference. They teach. They allow you to understand the complexities of what has to be dealt with. And I have found in my interaction with these families that there is such a deep caring. And yes, they're involved with technology. They're aware of different things. But not only is this their livelihood, they understand the connection with the earth. And we need to remember that. We need to remember we are not separated. We are all connected. So when something isn't right, when something is unhealthy, and I can remember being taught by an Italian lady who ran a restaurant when I was in my 20s. Her name was Rose. She asked me what was my favorite meat. I said, chicken. She said, whatever you do, never eat the skin on the neck of a chicken. And I asked her then, why? She said, because that's where they inject the hormone. Don't eat it. My goodness, we've run out of time. There's so much that I want to share with you that we're going to be able to do. So do take the time to tune in again. I am delighted you joined me today. Won't you join me tomorrow? Learn about T-cells. And remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul, your mind, your space. You are the one in charge of it. Don't ever turn that over to somebody else. God bless. We'll be talking with you tomorrow, same time, same place. This is Donna Sebo. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.